Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Do you believe that a miracle can happen right now for you? The Spirit of the Lord is here. So if you need that miracle, you just reach up right now and you take it. You receive it from God. You say, God, I expect. I believe. I have faith. You know, even if you're nervous, even if you just have like a little bit of faith, but you also struggle with doubt, you just say, God, I believe. Help me with my disbelief. And I just choose right now, God, we just choose to accept the miracles that you have for us, God. We choose to accept that provision. We choose to accept that lightening of our burden, God. We choose to accept you taking our fear. We choose to accept you taking our anxiety, God. We choose to accept you taking our depression from us, God. We choose to lay it at your feet, Lord, and we expect that you are going to do mighty things. God, we just open our hearts to you right now, God. We just open our hearts and we're ready for you to speak to us, God. Your Spirit is here, Lord. Speak to us. Move in a mighty, powerful way in each person's life. Everybody that can hear my voice right now, whether it's here in the auditorium, in the cafe, or watching online, even in the living rooms, God, just Spirit of God, fall in those living rooms. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' powerful name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can I keep it going a little bit longer for the worship team, who is amazing? Give it up. Well, welcome again to Gateway City Church. I didn't want to stop worshiping. I don't know about you. We have the most amazing worship team. I mean that, man. I've heard a lot of different worship. And we're just so blessed as a church. Well, in case you don't know who I am, my name is Jordan Canis Tracy. I'm the youth pastor. And I'm honored to serve our junior hires and high schoolers. And actually, right now, we are kicking off. This past week, we kicked off our internship. And you guys are going to be so proud of these students. We have 29 young people that have signed up to give 2 weeks of their summer. Can you guys give it up for these amazing teenagers who have just decided that they're going to put their social life on hold and go after God? And a lot of them are going to be continuing our year-long program and running the youth group, doing the worship and greeting and everything, the prayer team. I'm just honored. I'm honored to be the youth pastor. I feel so blessed. So let's jump in. I don't have a whole lot of time, so please forgive me. I'm just going to like kick it right into third gear. Is that all right? I like don't have a whole lot of time to like lift off. I just got to like start in the sky, if that's okay with you guys. We're talking about serving right now, and we're in this amazing series, Heart and Soul. Next week, Pastor David's going to bring it back and wrap it up, and we're going to go on to some new amazing stuff. But I just want to clear the air about serving. I know that it's sometimes a tough subject to talk about, and I also know that it's a tough thing to approach when you think about building the kingdom of God. That's really what we're talking about. We're not talking about the idea that man, like, you should really, like, jump into the kids' ministry, or, I mean, that's really great, and you should jump into the kids' ministry. But the bigger picture is building the kingdom of God. The bigger picture is stepping into whatever it is that God is calling you to do. And isn't it so funny? I mean, I'm 29 years old. I'm other than my wife, I think I'm the youngest pastor on staff. And it's so easy for me to feel, like, insecure about my age. It's really easy for me to feel insecure about how smart the people around me are and how much experience they have, and And man, maybe I shouldn't speak up as much. Maybe I should just like sit down and be humble. Anyone? And I think, man, like maybe I should just not go for it as much as I am. But then, you know, when I was a teenager, I thought, man, I'm just way too young. I just don't have my life together. I don't know what God has for me. I don't know what I want to do. I don't really know what my giftings are. I don't know if anybody will listen to me. I don't know. And it's funny because I'm sure that when I'm 40, things are going to hit me like, man, you know, maybe I should just take this time to like do something else. I don't know. Does anyone want to listen to me when I'm 40? And I know that there are people in this room that are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s going, man, am I useful anymore? Is my time over? Have I missed it? Does anybody want to know what I have to say? Does anybody need my help? And I just want to clear this misconception right now. There's a misconception going on that your service is determined by your season. And I just want to share with you, somebody in here needs to hear this, that your service, your kingdom building calling is not determined by your season. Josiah was called when he was 8 to be king. Moses was called when he was 80. Moses didn't start his ministry until he was 80 years old. And even he, when God called him to lead God's people out of bondage, he said, "You have the wrong guy. I can't speak. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. But I want you to know that God has a place for you to serve. God has a place for you to build the kingdom. And it's not busy work. It's not something that you just, so you can have stuff to do. God has a calling and he has people that he wants you to reach with your hands and your words. God has a calling on all of our lives. So I just want to start from that platform right now of we are all called to build. We are all called to build. Have you ever had like the wrong attitude about serving? I know for sure that I have. Probably none of you guys have. But today we're going to talk about why it's important for us to have the right posture when we think about serving. And I know this is going to be, you know, sometimes it can be a quiet room when you start talking about serving, right? But let's preach today together, okay? Don't just let me be up here talking by myself. Need you guys to shout me down. Need you guys to tell me, that's good. Preach, white boy. Whatever it is, all right? And if you're new here, I just want you guys to know that I appreciate if you're here checking us out. You for sure do not have to believe in order to belong. You guys are welcome here. Anybody is welcome here. We're all just kind of learning and growing together. I have a story for you. So when I was in junior high, I had a junior high leader and we had a youth pastor. My junior high leader became my mentor. He took a real special interest in me. And I would just hang out with this guy all the time. We'd go paintballing. And I was like an annoying kid. I don't know why he wanted to like hang out with this like loudmouth little dude, but he just did. It was like an assignment from God. His name was Tim. Some of you guys remember Tim. He changed my life forever. And I'll never forget being in a car with Tim. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you ready to be a leader?" He like didn't ask me if I wanted to be a leader. He just said, "Are you ready to be a leader?" So anyways, at one point, Tim felt called, the church was going to send people out to plant a church in Fontana. You guys know where Fontana is? It's like San Bernardino area. It's this hot, sticky, small city. I'm sure they're doing good now. So anyways, he felt called, and he was called. He was absolutely called to go, but of course I was really, really sad to see my mentor go. So I would visit them regularly. I would spend like weeks at their house. They would, you know, for some reason, maybe they just didn't have the heart to say, "Nah, we're in a different city now, homie. Like, why don't you find someone in your city?" So because we were planting a church over there, our pastor, our youth pastor, Pastor Ed, he would talk a lot about how much he hated Southern California. He was just like, I don't understand why anybody would go. It's hot. It's sticky. It's smoggy. It's whatever. I'm sorry if you're from SoCal. His words, not mine. His words. So he would just say, man, I would never want to go there. Like, I hate it every time it's like, all right, Pastor Ed, like, dang, you know. Be a team member. Anyways, sorry, Pastor Ed, if you're watching. I love you. So at one point, when I was 16 years old, I got some devastating news and about Tim. Tim had gotten into this terrible accident that would eventually claim his life. Some crazy fires in San Bernardino, and they were right next to his neighborhood, and he was just like trying to get everything out of his house, trying to help his neighbors evacuate, and he was riding on this motorized scooter, and he wasn't wearing a helmet, and the winds were just crazy, and he fell over, and he hit his head, and he wound up in the hospital, and of course, I was devastated, because I wasn't sure, one, if he was going to be okay, and I wasn't sure if I was even ever gonna like get down there in time. I didn't know if I was gonna make it to him and his family. His family was already down there, but I thought, man, how am I gonna get down there? I was just so sad. And actually his father-in-law was already down there. He was gonna drive 7 hours to come pick me up and bring me back there. And but before he did that, actually Pastor Ed, he said to me, I want to take you to your friend. So Pastor Ed left his wife and his job, and he put all that on hold so that he could drive me to a place that he hated. And he just dropped me off, and he like posted up at somebody's house just while I was there. And I remember after all that happened, after the process of my mentor passing away, and after I'm grieving and processing, I also processed this incredible thing that my youth pastor had done for me. It's amazing. And I thought, man, like, this guy is going to be my pastor now. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do whatever he needs. He's going to be my pastor. And then I'll never forget that a couple years later, when I was a senior in high school, it was announced to me that Pastor Ed was going to be sent to plant a church. I'm like, dang, man, what's happening to all my youth pastors? And I thought, you know, that's fine. Like, okay, that's cool. I'm graduating high school, so I'll just move on to the college age ministry or see what else God has for me. This new guy was coming in named Albert. And I didn't know Albert. I never talked to him. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And Pastor Ed sat me down and he said, I need you to stay and serve Albert. I need you to do whatever he needs you to do. And so I really had to adjust myself and say, you know what? I am going to stay. I'll be faithful to this guy. I'll do it. Yeah, I could run a small group or plan events or, you know, whatever he needs me to do. So stay and serve Albert. So Sunday, I look for Albert. Gonna go up to him, talk to him, break the good news to him. Introduce myself to him, like, you probably already know me, but I'm gonna be on your team. So, what can I do for you? And he said, man, that's great. You can come early and set up chairs. Come at 6:30 and set up chairs. So I did not come early to set up chairs. took a couple weeks and I got myself right. I had an attitude, man. I had to get myself right. And I said to him, you know what? I'm going to come and I'm going to help. Because back then we didn't have a youth room. It was just every week we set up and tear down. And I said to him, okay, I'll be there 6:30. But you know what? I was flaky. I wasn't flaky. I was the flake. So I'd come 20 minutes late, 25 minutes late, and I'd feel so bad. I'd say, Pastor Robert, man, I'm so sorry. I'll be here next week. Next week, you can count on me. He'd be like, okay, man, that really helped. Like, you know, we need a lot of help. Like, next week, I wouldn't come on time. And pretty soon, when I would say to him, Pastor Robert, man, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. Like I'll be there. I'll be there. It turned into, yeah, okay, that's cool, man. Like, you know, whatever. And then I would come, like, you know, a couple times I'd be there on time, and he'd like already have the chair set up because he couldn't count on me. And so finally, I just like kind of avoided him in the hallways on Sundays because I didn't even want, I just felt so bad. I felt so bad. The Holy Spirit was convicting me. And I even talked to my dad about it. I said, Dad, I am a huge flake. I know that. Like, and I feel terrible. I feel like I want to sit Pastor Albert down and talk to him and say, man, like I repent. I'm sorry. You can count on me, like whatever. And my dad shared an interesting thought with me. He said, what if instead of talking to him, you just like started showing up on time? And my dad knew that I was a flake, so he said, that way, don't talk to him, because if you don't show up then, he's going to go through more disappointment. So I said, okay, I'm just going to start showing up. And I started showing up week after week after week on time. Chairs are set up, and he didn't have anything else for me to do. I just stayed there. And after a little while, he started to trust that I would be there on time. He started to trust that I'd be there on time. And you know what? I kind of begrudgingly set those chairs up for a while because I thought, man, I grew up in this church. But what I didn't realize was that God was having me set up chairs in the youth group that I would one day lead. I want to say that God has identity for you. God has purpose and destiny for you. And it is tied to what he is asking you to do in his kingdom. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way, that you will never know who you are until you put God first. You will never know who you really are until God and his kingdom are before every other thing in your life. That's the truth. And I love my wife, and she loves me, and I would die for her. But she knows, and I know, she's number two, and I'm number two. She's number two, and I'm number two. You will not find out. And some of you, I'm telling you, I know you feel empty. You feel discouraged. You feel like you have no hope. You feel like you don't have a spot. You feel like nobody cares. So why would you jump in? But let me tell you that all the time, the jumping in happens first, and then the identity and the sense of purpose happens after that. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek his kingdom first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that funny how this verse does not say seek a relationship with Jesus first? Actually, another translation says, above all else, seek God's kingdom and his holiness. Above all else. Why doesn't it say seek a relationship with him? A relationship is important. But actually, you can't have much of a relationship with him if you're not serving him and you're not doing what you're called to do. The most important thing is that we seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Matthew 20 says this, you've observed how the godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And that is what the Son of Man has done. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give his life away in exchange for the many who are held hostage. You know, the calling of a Jesus follower I'm not even going to say Christian because too many people call themselves Christians. The true calling of a Jesus follower is to give your life away for lost people.
Amen.
For lost people. And Jesus showed us that example so beautifully. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. So I want to give you guys real quick. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Is this helping anybody? All right. Just checking. I want to give you guys three ways a servant attitude causes us to grow. You know, the reason that God puts our identity and our purpose into building the kingdom of God is because that's what causes us to grow. What greater way do we have to grow than to lay our life down and say, God, you are first. Other people, you are first. And I'm not saying, you know, people can get real extreme, so please don't hear what I'm not saying. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. You should take care of your wife. Wives, you should take care of your husband. You should take care of your kids. That is what God has called you to do. But you know what? It would have been really easy for me and April, once we had Chloe, to say, man, we just want to take like a break. But our season does not determine our service. And it was hard. It was really hard to carry a newborn with us. And luckily, we had a very easy baby, so I can't put myself in your situation. I'm just speaking about our situation. But there were times when it was hard. But you know what is interesting? Jesus had his disciples go across the sea when he knew there were going to be waves. He could have very easily said, you know what, guys, there's going to be a storm. Why don't we wait till next week? He didn't. He said, you get in that boat and you go now. And I'll calm that sea when it needs to happen. I'll encourage you when you need encouragement. I'll rebuke you when you need rebuking. But it's time for you to get in the boat and do something with your lives. We got places to go. We got a mission that we're doing. We got a mission we're called to. So don't wait for the convenient time. Don't wait for the convenient time. Actually, the more effective you are in the kingdom of God, the less convenient your life will be. Where am I at? Number one, a servant attitude causes us to lay down our life. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Number two, second way a servant attitude causes us to grow is it causes us to let God lead. It causes us, it's so in our nature to wake up every day and say, what do I want to do? What am I going to do? What do I feel? And God gave you your feelings for a reason. That's an indicator, but it's not the only thing, your feelings. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have to put my feelings, I have to like shove my feelings aside and say, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to let God lead. I'm going to let God lead. As human beings, we prefer to do things our own way. And you know, that's one reason why some people will do a lot of church hopping. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Because it's really easy once we feel challenged to feel called somewhere else. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. It is. And I'm not saying God never calls people to different places. He does. He absolutely does. He absolutely does. But don't let the discomfort of challenge be what knocks you out of God's purpose for your life. Discomfort cannot be what knocks us out. God didn't promise us comfort. God didn't promise us that we would be happy every day. He promised us joy unspeakable and peace that surpasses understanding. I love this message that I just heard. This pastor was talking about how he didn't get saved to be happy. He got saved so he could be close to Jesus. He got saved so he could be holy. And sometimes your happiness and your holiness will fight each other, and you'll have to choose a side. You'll have to say, am I going to be comfortable today? Just the same way that if ultimately your goal is to be healthy and fit, that cheeseburger is going to make you real happy. But that's not the prize. It causes us to let God lead. There is a path before each person that can even seem right, but lead to death. So we have to be real careful not to let our emotions guide us into what seems right. Yes. Yes. And then number three, I'm doing good on time. Look at that. Maybe I'll do a number four. No, I'll just give you three. I'm really sorry there's no handout today. I will still be checking for notes at the door. Number three. Oh man, some people are probably going to be mad at me after this. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm a little mad at myself. All right, number three. It causes us to chase service, not success. A servant attitude causes us to chase service, not success. Again, you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I love this second part. And all these things will be added to you. Some of us are chasing success so hard that we're not happy. And we're not happy because we're not in God's will. But actually, if we chase service first, that's where the real success in our life comes. Amen. And I want you guys, if you don't remember anything else from this message, I don't want you to remember how sweaty I am right now. I don't want you to remember how messy my hair probably is after doing that 100 times. I want you to remember this one thing. Obedience releases blessing. Obedience is where your life will find blessing. Above all else, obedience releases blessing. I remember, I don't know about you guys, but I have always been terrible with math. Just do not ask me to do anything math related. I've just always struggled with it my whole life. Anybody else just like terrible at math? Some of us, that makes me feel a little better. I wish there were more, but I guess we need people that are good at math. It's not my ministry. It's not my gift. I'll do it though, if someone asks me, I'll grab that calculator. When I was in school, we didn't have like smartphones with calculators on them. And I remember being in algebra and the teacher would be like, man, like, you need to know this stuff. What are you going to do? Carry a calculator with you all day, every day? And we're like, maybe. But yes, now we all do. So I'm sorry, high schoolers. You need math. You need it. All right. I was terrible at math. And senior year, I was in like the lowest grade or the lowest math class possible that you needed to graduate. At the time, it was geometry. I was the kid who was like cleaning the whiteboard at the ends for extra credit. I was like sweeping the floors, just begging my teacher, just like anything, what can I do for you? I'll babysit your kid. Even when I would study, I would just like fail the tests. I wouldn't do good on the homework. And I just thought, man, like, I'm not going to graduate. I really was not going to graduate. But at the same time, my senior year of high school, I was the leader of the Bible study. And I held on to that promise. I said, God, I'm doing everything that I can for this math class. I wasn't perfect, you know, it's not like I studied every single day or did everything. But you know, God saw my humanity and there was grace there. I said, God, I'm trying at this math thing and I can't do it by myself. But I am putting your kingdom first. I'm leading this Bible study. I'm doing everything that I can do. I'm serving in this youth ministry. I need your help, God. I'm seeking your kingdom first. I need you to take care of everything else. And he did. I passed and I graduated. I shouldn't have passed. I shouldn't have graduated. And then you know what? The next year when I was at Evergreen, I was having trouble in that math class and I had to keep on reminding God of his promise. And then the next year when I was at Evergreen, I had to keep on reminding God of his promise with a little bit of begging in there to my professors, doing everything that I could do. And God just came through. I know that you guys have stories. I know that a lot of you guys have stories about how God has come through for you when you put him first. But maybe some of you don't have stories. Maybe you guys haven't experienced that yet. I want to encourage you guys today that obedience releases blessing. What's God calling you to do? What is he calling you to do? What is he prompting you to do? Don't let your insecurities, don't let the fact that you have a million things to focus on, because we're all busy, right? Don't let that deter you. But if God is calling you, and he is calling you, if he's calling you to something, you got to be so careful to listen. So careful to say, I'm going to put aside my wants. And you can get it all done. You can. You can get it all done. Not all of us are called to like work at a church. Not all of us are called to be on the worship team or the preacher or... But you know what, man? All of us are called to impact people's lives. I can only do so much working at a church. You know, I like hardly ever see people that don't know Jesus. You guys are the real ministers. You guys are the real kingdom builders. And I just want to pray real quick for anyone in here. I'm going to pray for two groups of people. I want to pray for anyone in here that man, like the Holy Spirit has just been tugging on your heart with this message. He's just been like working on you. Maybe you don't even know where or how, but you want to make the decision that I'm going to jump in somewhere. I'm going to serve. I'm going to put my hands to it. I'm going to honor God with my life. Can you guys all close your eyes? If that's you, if you just like, man, I don't know how, I don't know what, but I know when I'm going to start. Can you just put your hands up? I just want us to make decisions today that we are going to serve God. I see you. God sees that hand. God sees your hands over there. God sees your hands. And then I'm going to pray a second prayer. Maybe there are some of you in here that don't even know who Jesus is. Or maybe at one point you were really close to him, but you just like drifted away from him. But you just want to get back to that place of relationship, or you want to come to that place of letting God lead your life for the very first time. Would you just show me your hands? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. And I'm just going to pray these two prayers, and you just say, God, that's me that he's praying about. That's me. Father God, I just thank you so much for speaking to us today. Holy Spirit, we just want to come back to you. And we want to say, we want you to lead our lives, God. We don't want our feelings to dictate where we're going, God. We don't want to feel empty. We don't want to feel without purpose. We don't want to feel lost, God. We just want you to be first and us to be second, God. And I just repent, God, for putting myself first. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. Take the first place in my life again. direct me, God. Guide me. Tell me where to go. Tell me how to serve. Tell me what you want me to do. Connect me with the right people, God. And then for that second group, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Maybe I don't know who you are. Maybe I don't know a whole lot, but I know that I need you. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life, God. Take first place. I'm sorry for being far from you. I ask that you take control. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're gonna sing some worship. Pastor Chip mentioned earlier in the service that we're gonna have an opportunity to give. That opportunity is right now. Ushers, you can come serve the people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says, I've decided. If you have made any decisions today, if you want to serve or if you want to get close to Jesus or you just need someone to talk to, grab that card, fill it out, and put it in the offering bags. We want to know what decisions you've made. For the rest of us, let's just worship God for a minute. Fill our hearts with your love, surrender. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, surrender. Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love. Everybody just stand with me for just a moment. I'm going to release you guys. with a blessing. I want you guys to know that, man, I love that song we were singing, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." You know how God's will gets done on earth? It's through us. It's through us that God carries out his will. I want you guys, if you need, we have some amazing people up here at the front. If you guys need prayer for something, if you guys feel called, like you just feel like, man, this message put something inside of you, this worship put something inside of you. Maybe you walked in and you're carrying a burden and you just want to lay it at Jesus' feet. Or maybe you made a decision for Jesus. Just please don't leave without getting some prayer from these amazing people. They can help you lay everything at God's feet. Father God, I just thank you for every single person in here, God. I pray that you would speak to them this week, Lord. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in such a mighty and powerful way that as they go through their work week, that you would be right there with them, that they'd be able to sense you and know your love for them, God. I pray that the windows of heaven would be opened over their lives, God. All the needs, God, all the miracles that are needed, all the healings, all the financial provision, every single thing, God. People in here are estranged from people that they love, God. Redeem relationships this week, Lord. I pray that you would move in such a mighty and powerful way in every single person at Gateway's life, God, that everybody would just know how much you love them this week. We love you, God. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You are loved. You are not forgotten. You are important. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week.